Now, as husband and wife, how did you decide who would go first, or how who would get the shot when?
I guess I'll answer that. So part of my duties at the hospital, I am the chair of the Infection Control Committee. And part of that landed me on our Vaccine Task Force committee that was ran by our PharmD, Rob Reichert. So initially, we thought we would try and separate out staff so everyone wasn't receiving on the same day. Should they have any side effects, we wouldn't lose our staffing at the hospital. As it turned out, with things changing right up to the last moment, we tried to do some of that, but for Dr. Reach and myself, we were put in as alternates, meaning because the vaccine was only good for 6 hours once it was mixed and ready to be given, if we had an odd number of people, we were available at any time to fill that last dose so nothing went to waste. It was pretty much exactly what I expected it to feel like, very similar to getting my flu vaccine. Nothing different there. The next day, I had a little bit of soreness at the injection site, but other than that, absolutely no side effects. Felt fine.
Great. Dr. Reach, same thing?
Same here. I had a little bit of soreness the following day. Just felt like a flu shot. And other than that, I felt perfectly fine and ran 4 miles the day I got the shot and the day afterwards. So that was good.
Yeah, sounds like it. Either of you had any lingering effects, or has it been pretty smooth sailing?
No. Only lingering effect I have is hope and that this will be beneficial, you know, and that we can start getting some of our freedom back. So only positive vibes for me. It's not a guarantee of protection. I do think that masks and hand washing and the distancing that we're doing are still going to be really important. Yeah, you know, I think when we get our second phase of this vaccine, you know, that doesn't mean we're going to just, you know, throw our masks away and run around town. I think it's going to be a while before we get there.
Any idea on what kind of timeline we're looking at there? I know that's on top of everyone's mind. I guess much of 2021, we're still going to have to be a little cautious. Would that be fair to say?
I do. I think it's really, unfortunately, I think it's going to be regionally different. You know, I think in some areas they're going to embrace the vaccine more than they do in other areas. And I unfortunately, I think there's going to be some different regional distribution of how safe it is and you know, what percentage of people vaccinate when they're given the opportunity. And that's really going to make a more of a patchwork across our country of safe places and unsafe places, unfortunately.
Dr. Hunter, what percentage of the population do we need to get vaccinated to achieve herd immunity, which we've heard so much about?
Yeah, what I've been hearing is 60% to 70% is our hope. Closer to 70% would be better for that herd immunity to take effect.
Do we anticipate getting that number to where we will achieve the herd immunity sometime in the next maybe several months?
Ooh, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, even in the days that we did our vaccinations at our facility, I think once they were hearing people say that it was like a flu shot and no one had any adverse effects or events when we monitored them, we had people changing their minds even during those few days that we were vaccinating. And I'm hoping that the word gets out. We're very proud to say that of all the vaccines we gave, we had no adverse events during the 30 minutes of monitoring that we kept them in our facility.
Have you experienced what some others have been saying about maybe some extra doses in the vials that weren't expected?
Absolutely. We received 160 doses, and we ended up giving out 194. So each vial averaged 6.1, and I'm told that was the same average that SIH had. Talking with our pharmacist, he said it's not unusual at all to have a little extra in the doses of medications when they mix them. And we did hear from Pfizer and the CDC that immediately told us that was expected, and we got approval to use those extra doses out of each vial if they were there, but not to combine vials. So specifically, if a vial had 6.5 doses, you gave 6 doses, and then you had to destroy the last part.
Did either of you have any hesitation in jumping in right away and getting the vaccine?
Absolutely none for me.
We did a lot of research on it, and Dr. Hunter, actually, her cousin was in one of the Moderna trial, and she was one of the participants in that, and we're pretty confident she got the not placebo, she got the actual virus, and she had a few side effects with her second shot, just fatigue, nothing major, but I mean, she was glad that she had a few, because then she knew she thought she probably got the actual the vaccine, and so far she's been COVID free, and even in spite of a couple of exposures. So we already had a little bit of family experience with that, and so in addition to our research that we did, and felt really good about it.
Do you think in the future will we see vaccines come out? Maybe not this quickly, but will there be a speedier process in the future, do you think, after what we've seen here?
I think they will probably realize that there's going to have to be some movement on just preparedness for our next pandemic, whether that's from this new mutated strain or whether it's, just another SARS virus that comes up 15 years from now, we just don't know. But we definitely have shown that we need to be more prepared than we have been, and I think people realize that, and I do think that our readiness to get vaccines ready in the future will definitely improve.
From what you've been able to learn, what are the differences? Are there many at all between the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines?
Not that we know of. I think they're both very similar in how they work, and there's probably a small difference in the mRNA sequence, just because they probably can't put out the exact same vaccine, but I think they both principally work the same way.
I know one of the questions that I don't know if we even know the answer to yet, but will this vaccine be effective on people who are asymptomatic?
That'll be the key right there. Yes. I think, hopefully once people are vaccinated, then they won't be asymptomatic carriers anymore. There'll be asymptomatic people that aren't infected.
Right. We're counting on these vaccines to cause our body to make these spike proteins that are very unique to the virus, and then doing that booster the 3 or 4 weeks later, depending on which vaccine you get, is kind of, as Dr. Reach said, is a reminder to be looking for that particular protein, and if your body sees it, to mount that antibody response so that virus can't replicate.
Kind of going along with that, as far as how these vaccines work against the virus, we hear the term side effects, and people always are concerned about what type of side effect they might have. But in a way, those side effects are good, right? Because doesn't that show the immune system is ramping up and learning how to fight the virus?
Yeah, most of the time, even when we have a flu infection or something, not a flu vaccine, but the infection, most of the symptoms we have are due to our own immune system fighting off the virus. And that's the same way with the vaccine. You might get some fatigue, a little bit of headache. You might get some chills, sometimes even a little bit of fever. I didn't get any of that, but it can happen. But if it does happen, you can high five yourself and say, hey, my immune system's doing its job, and I'll be ready when I am exposed to COVID.
Some of the people that have gotten the vaccine, they've gotten some paperwork. It's called the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. What is that?
So that system has been up and running for all of our vaccines. So if you had an adverse event, any symptoms, we give everybody information on what symptoms might qualify as something that you need to report, or even if you're not sure, you can do that online or through their toll-free number. This one was interesting, and Dr. Reach and I both did it. They also have a mobile phone app called V-Safe, and you can actually report information. It does a daily check-in. It texts you and reminds you and asks you a few questions, asking if you're having any pain, fever, symptoms, and reminds you when your next vaccine is due. That's for them to collect data. That's the data they're going to be using to go ahead and push through that FDA approval. But if they do see something on there that is considered an adverse event, then you would be directed to go ahead and report to the VAERS system.
You know, physicians, especially ones working in the hospital right now, they're under a lot of stress, nurses as well, just overwhelmed and really are looking for some way to dial this down. And if we can catch the most vulnerable people early on and reduce our hospitalizations and strain on the healthcare system, it's really going to make a huge difference. So, I'm very much looking forward to catching those long-term care facilities. We have a lot of them in Anna, and that's what's made us harder hit than a lot of other areas.
I'm glad you brought up the point about the stress of the pandemic. It's obviously been stressful for everyone. And you're a musician. You perform at area venues. How does that outlet for you personally help you deal with the stress of the pandemic? Because obviously you're on the front line as far as your job. So I'm sure you need some kind of outlet to get away from it.
Yeah, it's been so helpful. I was telling some musician friends of mine the other day, I said, man, if you didn't get better at your instrument, during this year, then you've got problems because, you know, everybody was home so long. But, I missed probably my first three or four gigs of 2020 because of just the venue shutting down. Then over the summer, I was able to play outside a few times and just getting ready for that and learning new songs and everything. It was really therapeutic for me and kept my mind off of all of this stuff a lot, which was super helpful.
Yeah. And now most of us aren't musicians, but do you have any tips for people to give them some ways to maybe get away from it and not think about it?
Just finding things to do to make you happy at home, and that's different for everybody. Something creative. I think anything you can do to create it, whether that's painting or sewing or what, for me it's music, but any creative outlet's good. And I think it's really important to reach out to other people, even though that might not be in person, just to connect and look for ways to do that. Look for ways to serve in your community, even if you're not really out and about. Calling people, talking to them, and that's something we all need right now, and it's so important.
I will just say, for our personal experience through this, we have a lot of stress at work, and it's very emotional, and it's you do need outlets. I think music is a wonderful outlet. It was for Dr. Reach. I will tell you, through the summer when my daughter was home with us, I worked on learning guitar. She worked on keyboard, and he was our teacher. We had Zoom nights where we played games with other family members. We did painting by Bob Ross instruction on YouTube. We did cooking. We learned to do homemade pastas. And I think it's just absolutely the things that maybe you never thought about trying. It's a perfect time to do it.